keep yourself in the loop of everything football. Listen to Alex and Jeremiah on the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast.
Hello there, I'm Jeremiah.
I am Alex, always and forever here.
Dedicated to college and NFL football. The latest football news on and off the field. NFL draft trade rumors. We've got you covered from the NFL, Big Ten, SEC, Big 12, Pac-12, ACC, and everything else in between. Listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast.
Thank you for tuning into the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast, where we talk the latest news, rumors, and games of the NFL and college football. From the latest science, to breakout stars, and all of the news in between. As always, I am Alex.
I'm Anthony.
And, of course, I'm Jeremiah.
Of course, but couldn't leave him out.
No, you cannot.
What's up, man?
Nothing.
Nothing at all, huh?
No.
Excuse me.
Ain't nothing going on but the rant, man. That's all it is.
Okay, cool. How are you doing, Anthony?
I'm fine. I don't know what to say after that. Like, I'm fine.
Okay,
that's
cool.
All I got. So.
Well, today is Thursday. Thursday, October 13th, and we have Thursday night football today between the Denver Broncos and the home team, San Diego, the Chargers, who are reeling from another late loss, 4-1 versus 1-4. We're going to get into that. We're going to talk the business. We also have the final drive today. Which, you know, for those of you who have listened to the show before, is things that we missed throughout the week, little or big, that was, you know, weren't segment, solid. And in between that, Jeremiah, what do we have?
Don't know yet.
Yes, we do.
Okay,
we'll wait until we get there.
Okay. You're gonna surprise me.
Don't pretend like there's some.
Okay.
We don't know.
All right.
Anyways, let's get into the Thursday night football game. That is Denver and San Diego. Denver, again, like I said, 4-1, facing off against the 1-4 San Diego Chargers, who yet again have lost a close game last week to the Raiders. At one point, they were leading. Yeah, Anthony told me a stat that said that the Chargers lead the league in time leading games. Like, they've led the most minutes, which is really funny for a team that's 1-4. I mentioned the sports show. These are very similar teams. The running game is almost identical in terms of their leading rushers. 293 and 3 touchdowns for C.J. Anderson on 84 carries. 89 carries, 299 and 6 for Melvin Gordon. Their two leading receivers, 26 receptions, 381 and 3 for Demaryius Thomas. 28 receptions, 394 and 2 for Travis Benjamin. So they're getting the same kind of output from their stars. Phil Rivers, of course, has more yardage than Trevor Siemian, who, even when doesn't miss games like he did this past weekend, he's not the most throw-it-down-the-field, break-it-away kind of guy, you know. So this is going to be an interesting game. I think the big difference between these two teams is their defenses. The reason I think the Chargers have given up so many late wins is because of the lack of defense, the defensive stars. He also told me another stat this week that was interesting to me, that after every week through 5 weeks the Chargers have finished, they have placed somebody on the IR. The injury report as it stands, we currently have Brandon Flowers out, who is their best corner. Jason Verrett obviously went on the IR, so it's a big drop-off after your two best corners are not playing. And you have Craig Mager, who is going to be currently questionable as well, might not play. And then Denzel Perryman, a big person on that defense as well, is questionable. The only big injury for the Broncos besides questionable for Trevor Siemian, who's listed as questionable, more than likely is going to start, is DeMarcus Ware, who's out after breaking his arm, I believe. And, I mean, they're still doing okay without him. Uh-huh. So I personally favored the Broncos in this one. Let's get your thoughts, Jeremiah.
I got the Broncos in this game as well. And something I want to point out is that Trevor Siemian is coming back, which is, we all know. He is a very important part of this team. And we saw it on Sunday against the Falcons when this team lost their first game of the season. We saw how important Trevor Siemian was to this team.
Well, you got a very similar kind of output from Paxton Lynch. I mean, he did about what the same things, you know, Simeon's done, in a sense.
So, yeah, but they didn't win. He struggled in that game.
The defense struggled, though, also, which the defense hasn't really done in the first 4 weeks. If you look at it that way, at least. The defense actually struggled for once
The whole team struggled.
Yeah, but I think Paxton did what he needed to do to help win the game. I think it's the same thing Simeon's done, excluding the four touchdown game. You know, I think the defense just really wasn't what it was last week against the Falcons.
Not only that, the Falcons are probably the best offensive team in football as of right now.
So. Yeah, they're definitely the best NFC offense in football. They're putting points up, they're putting yards up, so definitely in that aspect. Anthony, what do you think?
Yeah, so the thing with this game is, like we talked about, Beta Paxton Lynch or Trevor Siemian, somebody that the Broncos don't really need, someone who can light it up. They don't need Peyton Manning in his prime. They just needed Peyton Manning who could throw 10 yard out.
Yeah, actually, even the outs were a little soft. Maybe a 10 yard comeback because he would throw it 5 seconds early.
Yeah. So they just needed someone who was capable enough and didn't make dumb decisions. Like if they had someone this year like a Dak Prescott or a Carson Wentz who have both been doing that kind of let's not throw disaster plays kind of thing right now, they'd be fine. That's all they really need, because when Ware was healthy and you had Von Miller and you had everybody else on the defense, you had something to where it was a cohesive group who had been together for a few years and they knew what to do. And Paxton Lynch, now he's got kind of a game under his belt. He understood what to do. He kind of, like you said, didn't play great, didn't play terribly. He was just fine. He had a touchdown, an interception, 220-plus yards, just enough to where it was capable for them to win. Like, you know, they only lost by 7 points, so it wasn't like they got blown out. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming this week against the Chargers, who, like you said, just banged up across the board, it's going to be a little bit easier offensively. It's going to be a little easier defensively because, as good as Phillip Rivers is, Melvin Gordon has fumbled the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's always been an issue of his.
So it's one of those things of just like maybe they can kind of get some momentum if they get a fumble from him. You know, like you said, Keenan Allen, everybody else has just been wrecked for San Diego.
Not to mention, I mean, even the starters are banged up. You know, Antonio Gates is a little bit banged
up. Right, Antonio Gates.
It's a lineman going down all the time. Phillip Rivers can't do it on his own.
Yeah, he's tried to do it on his own. Don't get me wrong. Phillip Rivers has been great this year. Like, he's been one of the best quarterbacks in the league. It's just you can't do it all by yourself. I mean, we kind of seen other stuff like that with, like, Andrew Luck. Like, he's basically there just kind of trying to do it with a terrible offensive line, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But you need other people around there to just help you out, make it so you're not just running around looking like you're just scrambling for your life back there.
Now, one interesting thing, not interesting, like, I don't know if it's going to harm or help them. I don't think it's really something to even consider in that aspect. But Gary Kubiak is not coaching this game.
Right.
He's not traveling with the team to San Diego. He's suffering from a complex migraine. That's an interesting thing. But John Elway was quoted as saying Gary is going to concentrate on Gary this week. Everybody else will concentrate on getting a win down in San Diego. So special teams coordinator Joe DeCamillis is serving as interim head coach. I honestly probably would have thought Wade Phillips.
They said something with it, like basically DeCamillis handles like the day-to-day functions or whatever. So
gotcha.
That's why he got the, you know, option other than Wade Phillips, even though Wade Phillips has head coaching.
Yeah, because the week-to-week management, I suppose, yeah.
Yeah.
That would have been without knowing that, my assumption would have been Wade Phillips because of the experience. But,
yeah.
You know, I mean, he did the same thing. You know, I'm sure they've been preparing for this all week. You know, they kind of had this knowledge that this happened after the game.
Mm-hmm.
He had to go to the hospital feeling nausea symptoms.
Right.
So. Now, in San Diego's side, like we said, they have had 4 late losses this season. All of their losses are late. After coming off another late one to the Chargers, I'm sorry, to the Raiders on week 5, they had the chance to tie the game, and they've muffed the snap for the kick. That's probably one of their more painful ones because they actually did what was right. You know, they did it right this time. You know, they didn't give up a huge late lead. They actually scored a touchdown late,
mm-hmm.
you know, to Antonio Gates to kind of maybe even bring them closer to that score, you know. And, yeah, I mean, they can't win these close ones, you know. And you have to even, you know, you have to eventually fall into one.
Yeah, and this team is literally a couple of plays away from being 5-0. If you think about it, they were leading week 1. They had a 24-point lead at that point. And then Indianapolis and New Orleans, they were leading in that game late. And they lost both of them late as well. And then, of course, last Sunday, they had a chance to tie it to take the game in overtime. But the snap got muffed, and it was just a disaster after that. But the thing I want to say about the Chargers is this team is probably the best worst team because they had so many chances to win. Okay. These games, and the team defensively has been bad, but Philip Rivers has been balling this season. He's just a straight baller this season, but he just can't do it all on his own. This has been the Chargers for the past couple years. It's been Philip Rivers and everyone else. They just can't win with just Philip Rivers at the quarterback position.
Well, what you said about them being a couple plays away from 5-0, I think that's really what separates the good teams from the bad teams. So the good teams find ways
to win those games. That's why I said they're the best worst team.
Yeah, so this team, in my eyes, I mean, yes, they have potential as a team. Injuries, of course, you can't control those things. But that's what separates them from being a good team, those being able to win these close games, being able to win, to have, you know, it's like the NFL Turning Point, that show they do, where it kind of keys in on turning points of games, right? Say a fumble or a fourth down stop, or that's what big teams do. They take advantage of those moments, and the Chargers have definitely not done that this year. Their one win was a blowout win. You know, they were in all four of their losses, and they realistically should have won at least one or two of these. You know,
well, at least
who knows with this one? This was a tie. You know, set up to a tie, but
they should have at least won week one when they had that big lead over KC.
Right. We know. Yeah, they lost 14-point leads and 13-point leads in these four, two of these four meltdowns. You know, again, like I was saying, this last one was to tie the game, not necessarily win the game, but still,
they still had a chance to win in overtime.
Yeah. And the Chargers have lost 8 fumbles on the season. Obviously, like Anthony said, one of those major culprits being Melvin Gordon.
Right.
So this team, I mean, they had the potential at least, but they are on a streak of losing that doesn't look like it's going to end on tonight's game, not Thursday. And honestly, they have a couple weeks games ahead of them. They have this game, the following game, and they play the Broncos again. They could very well lose 3 more and be sitting at 1-7.
And then they play Atlanta in between those games.
Exactly.
Which could be a fun game next weekend, but we'll talk about that when it gets time.
Could be.
Yeah.
If you like points.
Oh, I love points.
There might be 100. 10
no,
for the,
there won't be
10
100.
For the Chargers, 90 for the Falcons.
Yeah, exactly.
But, so we are all in agreement, Broncos, for this one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to take the Broncos in here. I just have to. I don't trust San Diego's, like, I don't trust him at all. No.
Don't blame you. All right. Well, we're going to take our first break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk more football here on the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be, visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
And we're back here at the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast. We're going to do a little game now. We're going to look at each division leader, starting in the AFC. We're going to go through each division, look at the leader of that division. I'm going to include two teams here in the AFC West just because they have similar records, but one of them has the tiebreaker. Then we'll look at the NFC, and again, there's one team that has had a bye, so I'll sort of include them together. Let's start in the AFC. So currently, as it stands, the AFC East leading team is the New England Patriots. Surprise, surprise. The AFC North is the Pittsburgh Steelers at 4-1. Both those teams at 4-1. The Houston Texans lead the South at 3-2. And the Oakland Raiders are tied in terms of record, currently at 4-1, but they have the Raiders in first, but I'm going to include them both. Who to you guys is most likely to lose their top seed in the division? Again, Patriots, Steelers, Texans, and then Raiders, Broncos. Let's go with the Raiders since they are literally in first. Of those four teams, who is most likely to lose that spot? Go ahead, Jeremiah.
Okay, I think possibly be the Oakland Raiders.
Okay.
Yeah, because they're tied with the Super Bowl champs, Denver Broncos, and that defense. I know they struggled on last Sunday against the Falcons, a really good offensive team,
yes,
just like the Raiders, but that was one bad game. You got to kind of have a mulligan at some point, right? So I do see the Raiders losing. What I wouldn't say losing a division, but probably
not holding on to that division
not holding on to that lead because remember this team is young as well.
Yes,
and I do see this team as a playoff team, but I don't think they're a Super Bowl team. I just don't see them as a Super Bowl team. I just can't because this team is so young. I think they're about 2 years away from being that really good Super Bowl team, and the fact that that defense just really can't cover anybody concerns me. Mm-hmm. Especially when you're talking about the top teams in the division, I mean, not in the division, the conference here. Like, you got the Steelers, you got the Patriots. You kidding me? The Raiders cannot,
wouldn't match up.
They can't match up with those guys.
Gotcha.
So, for that reason, I don't see the Raiders winning this division, but I do see them as a wild card team, but I don't really realistically see this team making a playoff run.
Okay. Anthony.
So, I don't disagree with you necessarily about the Raiders, but I would say the Houston Texans.
Okay.
Yeah, that was my next one, too. Yeah.
If you look at the Texans, they have a differential point differential of minus 22. Mm-hmm. So, they have a winning record, but they're not even scoring more points than they're giving up. And the 82 points for is the lowest in the AFC. Technically, the Seahawks are the lowest with 79, but you know, they only give up 54 points. Mm-hmm. Like, their defense is really, really good. And you look at the Texans. I mean, yeah, every team in that division, they're all under as far as differential goes. You know, the best one is the Tennessee Titans of minus nine, but all of them are at least minus one, or at least all minus nine, I should say. And we've seen with the Texans, is Osweiler they're good? Like, is he...
Are you asking me or do you have kind of an answer?
No, I don't have an answer. Like, I'm saying, like,
is that rhetorical?
He's kind of rhetorical. It's kind of one of those things. Just like
he's not really showing me that he's worth the money they're spending on him.
Yeah, like Alfred
Morris. Not so far, at least.
Right, like Alfred Morris, solid, good enough.
Alfred Morris is on the Cowboys.
Or not Alfred Morris.
Lamar Miller.
I don't know why I said Alfred Miller. Yeah, Lamar Miller.
Alfred Blue.
That's who I was thinking
he's
of.
Well.
He's been fine. You know, Will Fuller, DeAndre Hopkins, both good receivers, just the quarterback's not that good. You got J.J. Watt going down for basically the year. Maybe he comes back with some, like, miracle healing kind of thing. But, you know, the Texans, they're not exactly, you know, anything that's, like, going to beat other teams by a lot of points. The one thing they have going for them is the whole division is bad. Mm-hmm. Andrew Luck's trying to win the whole division by himself like he's done the last few years. You know, I don't disagree with you. With the Raiders, but the only reason I would say with the Raiders is because of the Broncos. If the Broncos weren't as good as they are, I would say the Raiders would keep it. But the Texans, they don't look like any kind of prize either.
Now, real quick, so we're going to go into the flip-flop of the question because we're going to jump to the NFC. But I don't want any explanation with this. Just real quick, you know, real quick kind of one, two-sentence thing. Most likely to hold that division lead, New England, Pittsburgh, Houston, Oakland. I'll start with Jeremiah.
New England.
Okay. Give me one little reason why.
Okay,
one real quick.
Okay, they won three games without Tom Brady. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay. I mean, that's.
And Tom Brady came back with a vengeance, so.
He did.
It's the Patriots. It's always the Patriots. They're going to win the division until 19 or 2000 and like 97. Like, they're just, like, they're always going to win
maybe
the division.
Maybe even the year 3000. Who knows?
Always.
Just to the point where I feel like that's the most logical answer because of the lack of competitiveness from the rest of the teams in their division.
Not only that, and the AFC North is really competitive as
that's
well.
That's what I mean, of another team that, could be the one and two seeds in the AFC. Okay, moving to the NFC. Currently it stands the Dallas Cowboys have a 4-1 record and lead the NFC East. The Minnesota Vikings are currently the only undefeated team at 5-0. Atlanta is 4-1 in the NFC South, and then the NFC West is led by the Seahawks. The Rams are kind of there, but the Seahawks had a bye. So we'll just mention the Seahawks at 3-1. Most likely team to not hold on to that division lead. I'm starting with Anthony.
All right. So I'm going to go with Atlanta.
Least likely to hold on to their division lead?
Yes, least likely to hold it on.
Okay.
I don't trust the Falcons.
Okay.
Because the Falcons do falcony things. And when I say the Falcons do falcony things, you look at last year where they were 5-0, and then that all just went downhill afterwards. And I understand it's a different team, new year, everything else like
better
that.
Better defense.
Right. That's fine. That's great. Everything good. However, you know, we've seen Julio Jones not exactly be Julio Jones every week. Like, 1 week he can have 300 yards.
Last week he was kind of
Last week he was kind of meh. Like, it's one of those things that just, like, you can have great games, you can have terrible games, but the team's not consistent enough. And I understand they're 4-1, and that's fine. But I don't trust them to necessarily keep this up. And one of the reasons why I don't expect them to keep this up the way they're going is because you look at the teams they got to face, right? You got to face go at Seattle. That's a loss. Like, that's a loss. Chargers, okay, fine. You can win that one. Green Bay, you got the Eagles later on, you got the Cardinals, the Rams, Panthers, Saints. Like, you have hard games coming up.
Tough schedule, yeah.
Right. You have all these games coming up for Atlanta, and you look at the people that are in Atlanta's division. Tampa Bay is not too far off, and Jameis Winston will basically have good and bad games. He can, like, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde kind of thing. I would just assume that kind of it's going to slide back. You know, still maybe win, like, 9 or 10 games, but I don't think they're going to win the division.
Okay. Jeremiah, question to you.
I think I'm going to go with the Dallas Cowboys here because two things. That division has been highly competitive, mm-hmm. and this team is young, and they have two tough games that can honestly put them in second place because they're playing Green Bay this Sunday.
That'd be a tough one.
Then they have a bye week, and then they got a Sunday night matchup in week 8 versus Philadelphia.
That's going to be a good game.
It is going to be a good game, and the fact of the competitiveness in this division here in the NFC East, that's why I can't really say Cowboys are going to really run away with this division. It's going to be tough because you see how the Eagles have started. The Redskins, they're 3-2, and then they won the division last year. They have a couple of tough games this year to start off the year. And then Giants, I know they're 2-3, and then they have 3 straight losses, but, you know, in recent history shows that the Giants always make that late season run for the playoffs and the Super Bowl. So that's why you can't really discount them out right now. And plus, they have so many weapons on offense. So that's the reason why I see maybe the Dallas Cowboys least likely holding on to the division league. And the reason why I say the Cowboys over the Falcons is because I really do think the Falcons, I think that slow start, I mean, not the slow start, that slow finish kind of really got to this team. And the rest of that division and the NFC South is pretty, pretty weak as well. And
yeah, that would be my
the fact that the Carolina Panthers had a slow start really benefits the Falcons this year.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Okay, now real quick, again, kind of answer in one reason. Anthony, team least likely to lose the hold on their division.
Probably Minnesota, honestly, because they're 5-0. The defense looks incredible and stuff like that. And you kind of look at Green Bay, they're far enough back, you know, but I would say Minnesota, their defense. And along with their offense, you know, Sam Bradford's doing just enough for them to get by. I'd say Minnesota.
And Jeremiah?
I want to say Seattle, but the fact that the Vikings have played so elite this year, I can't see them losing this division at all. And we've seen what they did against the Packers as well. So yeah. The Vikings, I have them pretty much as a solid hold to win this division.
Yeah, I mean, in the next few weeks, they have the Eagles this Sunday, which should be a good matchup, but I do have them winning that one. They have the Bears, the Lions, the Redskins, and the Cardinals, and then the Lions again. Those are 5 winnable games. That's 10 games, plus I think they'll be the Eagles. That's 11 games, which I think they're favored in before they face the Cowboys in December 1st, so they could be a 10-0 team. But that was a very good segment, you guys. I did enjoy the conversation. We're going to take our last break. We're going to come back and we'll do a final drive real quick before we hit the road. So we'll do that real quick and come back at the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
And welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast. And like every Thursday show, it is time for the final drive. So, Alex, you said you wanted to go.
Yeah, I'll start.
Okay, and then for you guys that don't know, if you haven't listened to the show, Final Drive consists of stories that slipped through the cracks or stories that really weren't segment worthy, I should say.
At least big enough to be.
Yeah, like, there you go.
You know, I'm not going to make a one little signing, you know, week 6, a segment because I'm talking about it for 2 minutes and then I'll be like, well, break time.
Then we're going to take our first break.
Exactly. So, yeah, it's little things of that nature. So mine's just a little fun fact. You know, I like fun facts. I have an app that tells me a fun fact a day. Even though I don't need them, I got them all locked up in here.
It's cool to have fun facts for the dinner parties, man.
That's very true. I just tell them to my buddy's sister. She's like, she's like, how much do you know? I was like, I know enough. And I'll tell her random facts, and she just stares at me with the ugliest face, just disappointed in what I told her. Anyways, this one shouldn't disappoint sports fans. I'm sure many people know that trading cards can get sold at a decent amount, usually on eBay or through auctions or regular sales. Well, Tom Brady's rookie card, it was a mint card. It was, you know, mint condition. You know, you have to have them checked out by somebody. They have to be labeled as such. You can't claim that. They have to be told, you know, they have to have like almost a certificate. His rookie card sold for $24,212. That's pretty good, if you ask me. It's a mint condition. Yeah, 24212 last night on eBay. It's a nice card. It's Beckett style. It's a pristine edition. They have it all labeled. It's centering. They literally have ranking systems. They have centering, the edges, the corners, and the surface. Centering, corners, and edges all got a 10, and the surface got a 9.5. So maybe some dimming, some dulling of the colors. It was listed as a 10 overall pristine card. And again, sold for $24,212 last night on eBay. I'm not sure who bought it. I would imagine either a collector or a very wealthy Patriots fan. Ben Affleck. He loves him, Matt Tom Damon. Brady. Dude, yeah, they have this thing right now. It's for charity. Uh-huh. And it's, you know, I forget what they do, but you donate money and you get for a chance to, like, win dinner with the three of them, I think, or the two of them. It depends on.
Oh, with Tom Brady?
Yeah, oh, it's for the two of them. So for Affleck and Brady, uh-huh, or Matt Damon and Brady. And
you can't have three of them.
I don't know. Maybe they'll be a surprise because you donate to one of their things. And it's funny. So they had this video where they're announcing their thing. And Affleck's like, yeah, you can come and have dinner with me and Tom. And Matt's like, or me and Tom. And he goes, or you can have this guy drive us there because he's really not that great of friends with Tom. He goes, I'm so good friends with Tom. He goes, you try to give him a nickname. You try to call him Tommy Gunn. He didn't like that. And he goes, oh, yeah, well, you wouldn't know because me and Tom hang out all the time. And he goes, yeah, when's the last time you hung out? And he goes, that's not the point. So it's just really funny. I like their back and forth. And now Chris Evans, who is a big Patriots fan also, is like, how can I get on this? And then Ben Affleck like tweeted him back. He's like, oh, you can come too. We'll have Matt pick you up at the airport. You know, he's just always making fun of Matt.
Oh, wow.
But so I thought that was very funny. But yes, rookie card, mint condition, pristine, number 10, or at least 10 grade, $24,212.
That is a lot of money.
and I doubt that's not the most expensive gift card. Trading card ever.
And I do think the value is probably going to increase when he retires, which is probably going to happen.
As soon as they retire, it bumps up. Yeah. While you guys go, I'm going to look at what the most expensive trading card ever was sold.
Oh, right. So
it probably got a little bit of a boost right now just because of the whole Deflategate, everything else like that. It's a little bit more in the news, a little bit more popular right now. But all right, so we'll move on to the Oakland Raiders and specifically where the Oakland Raiders will play next year. So right now, the Nevada Senate, they voted to help fund a stadium for the Raiders in Las Vegas. Basically what happened, they had a 16-5 vote where they said, you know, we can go on to the next phase of what happens. Basically on Thursday, today, they are going to have another vote from the state Senate. As they did the 16-5, now heads to the Assembly for consideration. Basically, you know, they said many people didn't think it was the greatest thing in the world, like there were some flaws in it, but the way they said it was, you know, created jobs, which, you know, that's great for the city of Las Vegas. Also, if a government official basically says, like, there were some flaws, but it did this, you know, there's probably some taxpayer money in there as well, because that's what the proponents of it said. You even have, like, a video right here where it shows Al Davis's kid with the Las Vegas Raiders kind of flag right there. So it's one of those things, if it's looking like it's going to happen. It's looking like, if not next year, the year after that, sometime in the near future, the Raiders will move to Las Vegas.
Yeah, it's one step closer to happening. And earlier when I first heard about the possible move to Las Vegas for the Raiders, I was kind of all for it. And remember, Alex knows this, we talked about it on the show that never aired.
Mm-hmm.
But now that the team is really competitive,
right,
they have to stay home at Oakland.
No, they're the perfect Vegas team.
You think? No.
Perfect Vegas team.
They are. if any team were to move to Las Vegas, it would be the Raiders.
Right.
But the fact that they're competitive and mm-hmm. that fan base finally has like a product to that's watchable now.
It would have been a little bit more fun, be it like 2008 when they were just in the peak of their awfulness, if they would have gone to Las Vegas. But now you said they're actually good. But now the Raiders, like the history of the Raiders, just, I mean, Al Davis in general going. I mean, Al Davis was a dude who basically held up cities and basically said, like, give me thousands, if not millions of dollars to, like, see, you know, if I can go play in your city. And then he came back and was like, oh, never mind. Like, he did it to Sacramento. He did it to a city in L.A. Basically was just like, yeah, let me see if I would like to play. I'll do some research or whatever. He came back. No, never mind, but I'm keeping your money.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's sort of Vegas to a T also.
And the main reason why for this move is basically for stadium reasons. They haven't got a stadium in Oakland because that's probably the worst sports venue in all really sports. Bad. And remember, the Oakland A's player has been deemed as probably the second worst baseball stadium next to the Tampa Bay Rays, Tropicana Field.
They've legitimately had sewage problems.
Exactly.
Yeah,
in the
leaking.
Coliseum.
Yeah,
they've
leaked stuff.
So it is in the bottom of the barrel there.
Yeah.
And for football, too. So I can see that point, that right. reason why they're moving, and they just couldn't find another site in Oakland. So I totally understand this move, but the fact that the fan base family has a watchable product, you got to feel kind of bad for them in a way.
I mean, they've done it before. They went from Oakland to L.A. So now
they're still in California, though.
But it's about
the
same distance, though.
Yeah.
Vegas to Oakland and Vegas to L.A., it's give or take about the same distance or whatever, so they'll just travel to that.
All I got to say, I love the way how the proposed stadium looks. It looks fat.
I mean,
it looks fat.
I mean, it's always going to look nice.
Yeah, and I like the way it looks, and they have it at the perfect location.
Mm-hmm.
Right by the strip.
Right.
And don't get me wrong, if any team were to move to Las Vegas in the NFL, it would probably be the Raiders because they kind of fit kind of like the personality
right.
in a way. But my only concern is, you know, are they going to be more of a tourist attraction?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. That's
or
gonna be that thing.
Are they going to actually have fans there? Like, are they going to sell out every game?
The Raiders have enough of a fan base probably in that area, like just near California. Like they'll have enough of a base to where you'll have stuff like that, but it won't necessarily be one of those, like, you know, 90% of it is Raider fans. Like probably a majority of it, but the rest of it will just be people that went to Vegas that weekend and they're just going to be like, oh, okay, yeah, we'll go see a football game kind of thing.
Yeah. So
very true.
Okay, but, the Raiders are kind of like one of those teams in America that has – fans everywhere.
Yeah.
And you see it in all the away games that the Raiders are playing this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have a lot of Raider Nation travel as well.
Yes.
So, but it remains to be seen what the Oakland Raiders destination is
yeah.
in the next couple of years.
I'll be interested to see. I have an answer for you guys real quick as well on the
your card.
On the card, yeah. Mm-hmm. It is going to be very impressive, by the way.
Okay.
A Honus Wagner 1909-1911 T206 card. The reason it's so special is because there was only 200 made before it was pulled from circulation because Honus didn't want to support tobacco and the use of his young fans. It was an American Tobacco Company's card. So it's a PSA 8 version, which is the highest surviving grade of any of these cards. And it's been handed through bound by a lot of people. The card was discovered to have trimmed edges, but no matter what, that limited its value. It was still worthy enough for Arizona Diamondbacks owner Ken Kendricks to purchase the card in 2007 at an auction for $2.8
million. Jesus.
Wow.
$2.8 million. Now, the closest behind that is a Babe Ruth 1914 Baltimore News card for $517,000.
That's not even that close.
Yeah.
The condition's not great. It's kind of black and white. It's kind of wacky looking. $2.8 million Honus Wagner card.
That's just you have it because you can. $2.8 million, like, that's just you spending money. Just
there's no reason to have that. You don't play with it. You don't, like, flick it around the house. You don't throw it at people. Like, it's in a case.
At best, you have it
glass.
In, like, a frame, yeah.
Exactly.
Have it hanging up somewhere.
And, he'll sell it again at some point. Somebody will buy it for just as much, probably. Yeah, that's a, like, if you look at it, it's a pretty, like, you can tell it's why it's such an, worthy, like an old looking worthy card.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, let's get to our last bit of Final Drive, Jeremiah.
All right. So, tight end for the Washington Redskins, Jordan Reed, looks like he has another concussion again. And it's It's terrible news for Jordan Reed and the Redskins organization. The tight end is being evaluated for a concussion after experiencing symptoms during Tuesday's workout, per the team's official Twitter account. Reed didn't miss practice on Wednesday, and he looks like he's questionable for Sunday's game against the Eagles. And he has suffered 5 concussions from 2011 to 2015, dating back to his career in Florida. So there's got to be some concern for Jordan Reed's career right now. Concussions are nothing to play with. Look what happened to Wes Welker.
Jahvid Best.
Look at those guys. They just couldn't stay healthy, and they just couldn't stop getting concussions. So you got to kind of have to think maybe Jordan Reed should probably, I'm not saying calling a career, but probably like kind of really, laid back in a way.
Really not laid back, but he's going to have to start thinking really about life after
football. Yeah, he has to start thinking about his health.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, like you said, it's not the first one. It's definitely, hopefully, not the last one, you know what I mean?
But, and it's a shame because Jordan Reed has been a major factor for Kirk Cousins, and we talked about it, I think, in our...
I've mentioned it before.
We mentioned it, I think, in an episode way back when, that Jordan Reed is a very important part to his offense because of Kirk Cousins. And when Kirk Cousins didn't have Jordan Reed, his numbers show that he struggled. His numbers weren't as great when Jordan Reed was on the field. So, but you got to start thinking about your life other than football when you have so many head injuries.
Yeah, you got to start looking about. Yeah. You got to start thinking about and looking at life after football.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's one of those things that you talked about with Wes Welker. We see Jordan Cameron up in Miami. He had his 4th concussions in 4 years. It's one of those things where, you know, it's harder for you to probably walk away because it's not something that you can physically, like, feel all the time. Like, if you have a broken arm or a broken leg, like, it's one of those things you're harder. You're not as good of an athlete. Like, if you just have a concussion, you assume you can come back with it. You hear athletes all the time, I'd rather get hit in the top part of the body, like, you know, waist and above, than chop me off at the knees. It's one of those things where athletes just kind of don't want to retire. Like, Wes Welker wanted to play for a long time after the Patriots and everybody else basically told him, like, no, like, please stop this. Like, you keep getting hit really hard, and we're, like, scared for you at this point.
Yeah, I was scared for Wes Welker at one point.
Yeah.
It's going to be tricky, but we'll have to see, you know, how he does it. I mean, that's the life of the NFL nowadays, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, that's our show for today. We'd like to thank you guys for listening. As always, we had a wonderful time doing this show.
Like always.
I will be gone. I'm not back till Friday.
You mean you're not back till Monday. You're gone tomorrow.
That one. I'm not back till Monday, so enjoy your Friday show with these two and Ben. Yes.
Yeah, as we will talk about some upcoming NFL action in week 6, as well as college football action as well. And we will recap tonight's Thursday night football game.
Yes, we will.
I was waiting for you to say that one.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I can't wait to listen to the show. I know you guys will do great.
Appreciate it.
Oh, it will be great. Every show is great.
Yep. As always, like, thank you guys for listening. I am Alex.
I'm Anthony.
And I'm Jeremiah.
I'll see you on Monday.
You'll see, or you hear, Anthony and I tomorrow with Ben.
All right, guys. Have a good weekend.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.